Romans chapter 12. I think I said that. Romans chapter 12. I want to define again what we talked about last week, spiritual gifts. And so I'm not going to go into that. If you want to, if you have not heard that message, you absolutely ought to, and this is homework for you, that you go back and listen to last week's message on the website. And so because it's fundamental, I'm not going to go back into it, but what is a spiritual gift? And we kind of break that down. It's absolutely essential that we understand it. Now, quick definition. A spiritual gift is a manifestation of faith. In other words, I have faith, and I have faith in God. I trust God, and that trust, that faith that I have in God, I manifest it. I produce it. I make something of it. A spiritual gift is a manifestation of faith that we have in order to build faith in others. Romans chapter 1. A spiritual gift is a manifestation of faith. And it's a manifestation of faith. It's some gifting of God, a spiritual gift. It's some gifting of God that becomes manifest. It becomes active. Something happens with it in order to build faith in others. And so we talked last week, that means that when I have a spiritual gift, it is for the benefit of others. It is not for you. It's not primarily for use in the world. It is for others, and I mean for the church. Romans 8, we're not going to go into it again, but Romans 1 makes that very clear. Are you following me? So if you have a spiritual gift this morning, the goal is, and by the way, if you have the Spirit of God in you, God has given you a spiritual gift. That gift was given to you in order for you to manifest it, to work it out for the sake of building faith in other people. And so I just take it for example, I just saw Gene and it reminded me, Gene's very clearly has the gift of teaching, and we'll go into that gift as an example. Gene has a gift of teaching, and he uses that gift not at the college level teaching A, B, C, D, and E. He uses that gift primarily to edify and build faith in other people in the context of church. That's sort of an easy, basic one. It's to build faith in other people. It is not, and so we talked last week, that love is the thing. Remember, we showed how Paul was so intent, and he loved his church. He was eager to share his gift with others because he loved his church. Remember that? And so what constraint? I don't feel very motivated to share my gift with other people. That is, can you hear me when I say it? And we just need to say it, and we need to accept it, and we need to understand it. If you're not sharing your gift with other people and trying to build them up, the primary problem is of a lack of love for others. You're not actively loving people enough to invest in others. Now, that's a strong word, but I believe that's a biblical truth. Your spiritual gift is motivated out of love that we have for others, and out of that love that we have for our church, for the people that God has put to our care, we pour into them our gifts and abilities in order to build faith in others. If you're not doing that, that is principally... Now, it might not only be that. There may be, I don't know what my gift is. But a lot of times, it's a love problem. Everybody following me? We don't want to have a love problem. I was telling, we ate at Smash Burger the other day. How many have ever eaten at Smash Burger? It is, in my opinion, phenomenal. And there's one in Delaware, going towards, and so we were driving back. We're driving back the other day. I was driving Kelly back home on Friday from West Virginia, and Smashburger. The kids don't even know I ate at Smashburger. We threw away all the evidence. Now they know. We ate at Smashburger, and I saw on the board on the wall, like the burger, and then they had the bread, like it was a silhouette of a burger, like, you know, like it was these blocks that represented bread, and then like the meat and the cheese and the lettuce, all wonderfully done at Smashburger, beautifully done burgers. You know, if you've never been there, you got to get there. And I remember seeing that and thinking, and I don't know why I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, the bread is sort of like so important to a burger, you know? All this was going through my mind as I was enjoying this juicy cheeseburger. I'm looking at this, I said, you know, in church, the bread is love. Okay, everything that we're doing is sandwiched in a love for one another. If that's not there, then nothing's there. So in other words, if you don't have a motivation for love, then everything in between that we find valuable, then it's not going anywhere. So we must love what it's the bread that keeps everything together, is the love that we have for one another. It is what motivates people giving of their time and their energy to build into the church. It's a love that we have for the church. Well, I don't know anybody that well. I just don't feel connected. Get to know people. Get to love them. You've got to do that. I have found, this is a tangent, I don't care. I have found that when people are discouraged, Lucas, tell me if I'm right. When people are discouraged about church, but just don't feel connected. Have you heard that? You know what I'm talking about? I don't feel connected. Listen, that's your fault. That's nobody else's fault. That's your fault. You're not investing in others and trying to find other people to get to know and to love. That's not my problem. Well, I feel so discouraged. I just don't know anybody. Well, you don't love the church enough to get to know people? You got to love the church in order to be motivated to share your gift with the church. Is everybody following that? And so we said last week, and then we're going to get into new territory. But we said last week, and I believe it, we're talking about that service is, well, let's go ahead and I'll just jump in. I'll say all this as we walk through. Let's look at verse 4, chapter 12. It's interesting that chapter 12, verse 1 says something that you're all familiar with, right? Chapter 12, 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, right? What's the context of what we're talking about when we get to verse 4 and it's talking about bodies, and one body starts talking about the members of the body of Jesus, starts talking about the gifts? What's the context? The context is, Paul enters into this conversation with this opening phrase. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There is a responsibility that everybody in this room has, if you are a member of the body of Jesus, to use your body in ways that blesses God, in ways that blesses others. And so it's no sort of big mystery that out of this discussion of presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, that Paul launches into members of the body of Jesus using their gifts and abilities. How do I present my body a living sacrifice? Well, let's start with using your body to use your gifts to dispense on others in order to build faith in them. Is it any wonder that, so we'll present your body as a living sacrifice. This is the use your gifts. Use your gifts. So let's read this, verse 4. Eventually, we will get to verse 4. And we're here now. Let's see, 20 minutes later. Amen? 20 minutes. This is going to be a great message. I can tell. I can always tell how great the message is going to be, how long it takes me to get to the verse. 20 minutes, this is going to be great. For just verse 4, as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We talked about it last week. Everybody in this room is, when God's Word talks about body, a member of the church, it is not talking about country club member. That is a modern understanding of membership that I reject. I don't like it. That's why I don't like really the term membership, because in today's day and age, the connotation is that you get a card, a discount card. That's not what Paul talks about when he talks about member. He's talking about not member country club. He's talking about member. You are a finger. You're a member of a body of Jesus in the same way that we have members in our body, right? And so we said that last week. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, let's break this down, can we? Let's take some moments here. To break down this passage. First, I want to say again, just thinking about that, this is not an exhaustive list of gifts. Everybody with me. Paul has another list in 1 Corinthians. There are four different lists. They aren't exhaustive. They are representative. They are just representative gifts. These are some of the things that you might... Paul, it's like as if Paul's saying, these are some things that you might see. I believe that there's not an exhaustive list of gifts. Even if you take all the gifts in the New Testament and put them all in one page, then you're missing the point. I believe that we're missing the point to list them all. These are just representations of the kinds of things we would see happen in church, but they aren't exhaustive. Are you following me? So we said last week, forget about, don't find it as important to discover what your gift is and put a name on it. That's less important than saying, God, help me to pour faith into people. Help me to, and if you could just wake up and say, God, can you help me to find opportunities to pour faith and to build faith into people? If you would do that, then you will begin to see ways in which God naturally allows you to do it. And then you could put a name on it if you want. But at least you know. I think that God's given me a natural ability to pour faith into people doing this. Don't worry about naming it. Just worry about doing it. Just find, you know, so God, I'm gonna build faith in others. I'm gonna build, help me to do that. And you may have 10 different unique ways that are unique to you by the Spirit of God that He's given you ability to pour faith into people and to build faith in others. Don't get tied up in finding out a name for it. Does everybody receive that? And this is the real challenge, because what we're going to be doing over the next couple months is trying to find out what everybody's spiritual gift is. But the problem is, we should come into that knowing there's some drawbacks with that. But the thing is, you find what those gifts are. You begin to exercise those gifts. Okay, very practical now. Number one, every believer, this just points, just observations today that are going to help us move forward with spiritual gifts. Number one, every believer has a gift has a function. Easy. Can't get any easier than that. Every believer has a gift, has a function. Paul likens it to the member of the body. Right? Now, the important thing is that a finger does fingerish things. Is that even a word? I don't even have no idea. A finger does things that fingers do. Toes do things toes do. Everybody in here is something, and out of that something, your value is not in being a finger. Your value is not in being an eyeball. Your value is in doing the thing that fingers do, in doing the things eyeball. Your value comes from what you are, what God has made you and gifted you to be, actually using that gift for the church. There's no point in you having a gift if it's not being used. It's no point if you're a finger, a kneecap, a stomach, whatever it is. It's no point in you having that and being that. It's wasted if you're not using it. Your value comes from using, from being the greatest nose that God has made you to be, or whatever part of the body that God has made you to be. That's the value. There's no value. So God has given me the gift of preaching or exhortation or whatever. What good would that be if I didn't use it? My value does not come in a title, pastor or whatever. That doesn't mean anything. My value comes in doing what it is that God's called me to do. That's what makes me valuable in the body of Jesus. It's not that I have a title, it's that I do things commensurate with the gift that God has given me. I'm using my gifts. And we said last week, and it merits saying again, that we have a church that maybe 30% of the church is actively using their gift and abilities for God. And I think that we should not accept that as healthy. We should not accept that 70% of our body isn't working. Right? That would be unacceptable. 90% would be unacceptable. Healthy is 100% of our church using 100% of their energy, moving forward within the power of God to accomplish all that God wants, everybody using their gifts and abilities in the same way to build faith in one another. That's what makes a healthy church. 20% makes an anemic, unfunctioning, limping along, barely functioning, barely alive body of believers. That just seems to me the brutal, sort of honest, gut check truth. Do you receive it as truth this morning? I think we need to challenge ourselves with this biblical understanding. I was walking. It occurred to me the other day. I was walking a few years ago. Remember when the Tiffin University bookstore closed? Remember that? And they had 90% off of everything. We had just moved here, so it was about 3 years ago. And so Kelly and I went to the bookstore. We'll support. 90% off. And so we bought a ton of sweatshirts, a ton of them, TU, right? And so I wear them. This time of year I wear them because they're comfy. I didn't go to TU. I support TU, I guess, it's our local college. The other day I was in the hospital visiting somebody, and some guy came up to me and said, is it the Dragons? Yeah. Okay, the Dragons. It's good Dragons. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Go Dragons. And it took me like a minute, like a second, to realize, oh, okay, TU. And I was like, yeah, go Dragons. What would I say? Go Dragons. Yeah, I've never been to Dragons game. Well, a girls' basketball game. I went to one. But I'm not. I was just wearing the shirt. And he's like, hey, go Dragons. Hey, go Dragons. You know, wearing the shirt does not make me a TU fan. Now, more often I wear in Alabama. And then if I hear Roll Tide, I know what that means. Roll Tide. I'm on that. Roll Tide, baby. I get passionate about that. You know what? But wearing Alabama stuff absolutely does not mean that I'm part of the team. It just makes me a fan. I'd wear Alabama stuff all day long, and it doesn't mean that I ever play for Alabama, have any connection to Alabama. It just means I'm a fan. And that's something, but the thing is, being a fan's not everything. It's just being a fan. It's something, it has some value, and I'm glad that people are that come to the church and they're sort of, they wear the t-shirt, but they're not part of the team. I'm glad for that. Okay, it's better than not being here and not being a fan. But we don't need more, understand, we don't need more members like the church usually calls. We don't need more members. We need more members. We need more functioning people. You know, you come in here, you wear the t-shirt, like the proverbial t-shirt, like, yeah, I go to UBC, right? I go to United Baptist Church. What good is that? I'd rather be part of the team. Be part of the thing that's like sort of I'm engaged. I love my church, not the church like the building. I love my church enough that I got to pour in to this church as much as I can. The people, I've got to find my gift, pour into them. Does that make sense? We don't need UBC wearing. We got the UBC. We don't need the UBC wearing people. We need the UBC member church. Serve, do your thing, find your gift, build the church up in faith. That's what we need. And I'm very aware then that that means that there are people that are going to do that that haven't necessarily signed on the dotted line in membership. While I think that that's a good thing, and you should, but the point, that definitely what you ought to do is serve, 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 serve. Serve, serve. Oh, hold on. Back up. Not serve, serve out of your gifts. Not just serve. Serve out of your gifts. We said it last week. People that are doing things that shouldn't be doing them because it's not their gifts. There are people in this room that would be their gift. They need to step up, do the things that you ought to be doing so that people that aren't gifted to do things don't do things they're not gifted to do. Did you lose me? That was a tongue twister. There's something else here. Notice verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us to exercise them accordingly. Everybody's different. Number 2, everybody's different. So there's some things that are important here. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got ability. Everybody's a finger, whatever. Everybody's different. And I believe that God designed it that way. God designed it that way. Everybody's got different gifts and abilities. Everybody's different, so don't judge others in their gift. I'm going to talk about this because this is important. What's that mean? If everybody's different, I shouldn't have a judgmental spirit about your gift and the way you use it. Because I've heard of this happening, and it happens to me. We have Kelly and I have particular gifts and abilities, and then we use them. We step up to the plate. We use those gifts and abilities, and then sometimes, and you can see, because this has happened to everybody in this room probably. But sometimes people come and criticize us, and they judge us on the way that we're using our gifts. Well, then, if that's your gift, then step up. I'm glad for you to do it. I don't need to You know, I mean, if you could do it better. How many understand what I'm talking about? Listen, find your lane, get in it, and forget about everybody else's lane. Well, I don't like the way they count, or I don't like the way this, I don't like that. So hold on. So if that's your gift, then jump in and help encourage and do all that. That's great. But if that's not your gift, maybe you don't know how to do that thing, and maybe you should just stay in your lane and not judge others in the way that they use their gift. And then you don't want people to judge you in the way that you use your gift. But I've actually found that a lot of times that people that criticize other people's use of their gifts aren't using gifts. Well, it's awfully convenient. Find your lane, get in your lane, serve, trust God, build faith into others with your gift, and everybody's happy. Find the other flip side of the judgmental thing is, so don't judge others. Don't be quick to judge others on how they use their gifts. Amen? Don't judge other people on how they use their gifts. Just leave them alone. Keep your eye on your gift. Keep your eye on what God has called you to do, and everybody's happy. Also, don't be jealous of other people's gifts. So I've got my gift, and I might just be a little finger, but I kind of wish I was a mouth. Forget about that. Don't worry about other people. Don't be jealous of other people's. You've got a lane that God has tailor-made just for you. Get in that lane. Serve God. Serve God out of your gifts. Don't look around about other people's gifts and either judge them or be jealous of them. Get in your lane and serve. Pretty simple. We're not going to judge people. We're not going to be jealous of other people's gifts. Everybody's got their thing. Everybody, they differ according to the grace given to us. It's the grace of God that makes us different. Has that ever occurred to you that people aren't like you precisely because God is gracious? It's the grace of God that makes us different, that makes us uniquely different, so that we can all walk different kinds of ways, do different kinds of things for the glory of God. Everybody's different. That's God's grace. That's not something to be rejected. That's something to be embraced. Thank God everybody's different. Thank God everybody's not like me. Thank God everybody's not like you. It's God's grace that that's the case. So don't judge people. Don't be jealous of people. And we also, and this is a third little point in my, everybody's got different gifts. Don't use your gift as, please help us to not do this. Your gift is to build faith in others, not to beat people up. Don't use your gift as a tool to club others with what you think or what you, whatever. Use your grace to build people up, not as a tool to manipulate people, not as a tool. You know, your gift, you're not using your gift well if you stand up here, just use me for an example. I have a particular gift, ability. If that gift is used for you, great. If that gift is for me so that I get applause or so that I feel good about myself or whatever it is, whatever wicked motive that I might have, that is a misuse of my gift. God can still use it, but it's a misuse on my part of my gift. I'm using my gift for others out of love for others, not for me, not for my self-gratification, not to puff me up. That's not what it is. So we're always keeping check that the way that we're using our gift glorifies God. And that brings me to point number three. Every gift has appropriate and inappropriate ways to use them. Every gift has appropriate and inappropriate ways to use them. The same way that fingers do certain things, finger ought not be involved in toe jobs. There are appropriate ways to use your gifts, and there are inappropriate ways. And so when you discover your gift, understand that that gift has, whatever that gift and inclination is that the Holy Spirit of God gives you, that gift has pitfalls and it has upsides. And so you'll have to be aware that your gift can be used as a curmudgeon against people, or it could be used as a blessing for people. It could be used well, it could be used poorly. There are appropriate ways to use your gifts. And so, and I just want to point to this. So for example, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, if somebody teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, but notice this, he who gives, how is it that you ought to give? So every gift has ways in which those gifts are appropriately used. Gift of any examples, some of that here. If the one who gives, in other words, you have a gift of giving in some way, how is it that that is appropriately used? With liberality. The one who leads, if somebody that's got leadership abilities, there would be poor ways to do that, but a healthy way to do it would be to lead with diligence. The one who shows mercy. How would one show mercy? Well, there could be showing mercy begrudgingly, or there could be showing mercy with cheerfulness. And so that would be an appropriate way to use a gift. But every gift has appropriate and inappropriate ways to use them. And so we ought to challenge ourselves. God, I've got this gift that I have that you've entrusted me to. And that gift by itself, if I use it, can be used well or can be used poorly. It can be used badly or it could be used well. Just because a finger does fingerish things doesn't mean there aren't a lot of things that fingers could do badly. Just using your gift is not the point. It's using it well. Using it to the glory of God. Using it to build faith in others. And so understand that gifts can have negative ways that it's used and appropriate ways in which the gift can be used. So we are many, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, verse 6, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. I'm closing on this, but I want us to really put this into practice here. If you have a gift, and I assume if you're a child of God today, you do. God's word says you do. If you have a gift, you ought to be, Paul says, exercising that gift. Now, exercise, like with anything, is the same word that we tend to believe is the point when Paul says, exercise yourself unto godliness. There are spiritual disciplines that we exercise all the time. We're doing them. We're doing spiritual calisthenics. We're reading God's word. We're praying. We're fasting. We're doing all those things. Additionally, we should be exercising our gifts so that it becomes natural, easier, better. You know, some guys that run track. You're not going to decide tomorrow to wake up and run with these guys and do well. I'm not in the best shape, but maybe I could do it. I couldn't do it. Let's just be honest. I would have 3 heart attacks by the time I made it a mile and a half. There's no question about that. Do you know what? You're going to jump in, just run a marathon? Absolutely not. You have to discover your gift and exercise it so that it becomes a natural thing that you do, and it's not hard, it's not difficult. You're just exercising it so much that it's just like breathing. You're just using God's gift. It becomes a natural part of your life in Jesus, is to exercise your gift, to use your gift for the glory of God, for the benefit of others. And so but I don't know what my gift is. So that's where we want to help you discover your gift. And we want to help you to implement that gift. Now, there may be a gift that we just can't implement a program for your gift. I would think that most gifts aren't going to be something that you could plug into a ministry and say, oh, I have this gift. That ministry would be perfect for me. That might not happen. But here's what you can do. You absolutely, whatever your gift is, because I promise you that God's word is saying it, that you could use it in the context of church some way, somehow. Something. You could use it. You could find your way in these doors on Sunday morning and bless people and build faith into people with your gift, whether or not it's signed up to do a program or not. It has nothing to do with it. It's you using it for the body of Jesus. And it may not even happen on Sunday morning, but it might happen Monday with a phone call to somebody and say, hey, can I do this for you? It may happen Tuesday in the body of Christ in some way as you build relationships with one another in the body of Jesus, that you use it on Tuesday. It may happen Wednesday, it may happen Thursday, it may happen Friday, it may happen Saturday, I don't know. It may happen Sunday, but absolutely happening for the benefit of the church. And I feel like if our church... This is how groundbreaking this is for me, this idea. What all that I've been talking about for 2 weeks, what we looked at over 12 weeks in Sunday school, as we taught this in Sunday school in more depth. Here's what I believe. I believe that a big part of the health of any church, or the health of this church, and a big part of the unhealthiness of any church and a big part of the unhealthiness of this church will correlate to this question: who out there loves their church enough, loves God enough to use the gift that God gave them to build faith in other people in their church? How many people in this church are going to actually be used of God for the building of faith in our church? I assume that if the thing is that we want to build faith in others, and that if only 20% of our church is building faith in other people in our church, there's a lack of faith in our church because people aren't building faith in others. There's a lack of growing in our church. Listen, do you mind? I just got to say it. So I had a couple, a young couple that came up to me recently, and they're struggling with their faith. They go to our church. They're struggling with their faith. They don't understand a lot about faith. They don't understand a lot about church. And I'm saying, I'm glad to pour into that. But I think it's a shame that I need to get that phone call. There are plenty of people in this room that could be building faith into... There are plenty of older people in this room that could be building relationships and building faith into the young people in our church. How's that happen? You got to love people enough to build into them. You got to love people enough to love them and say, I want to build a relationship with them so I can build into them. There's a couple that doesn't have a strong foundation, doesn't have a strong faith, struggling with that. And we got all kinds of resources in here of people that could be building faith into that couple, and that's not happening. Well, that wouldn't happen in the context of Sunday morning church, but it would happen in the context of loving people, loving the church enough to get to know them, to build faith in them. That's what we need. We need everybody on board to say, I have gifts, abilities, I can pour faith into people. Let me find people. Let me do that. Let me grow. Let me love people enough to build faith in people so that I can use my gifts and abilities for God's glory. Can we get on that page? Man, we need to get on that page last year, 10 years ago. We need to get on that page right now. Let's build faith in others. Let's use our gifts. I'll just close with my thing as well. I don't know what my gift is. Start simple. Build faith in people and see where that leads you. See where that leads you. Say, God, I want to build faith in people. Pray that God will show you what your gifts are. You don't need a test to do that, just a desire to build faith in people. I don't want anybody discouraged this morning. I love our church, and I am pumped. I believe that God is about to do amazing things here. Please don't hear a discouraged anybody. I'm pumped, and I want you to be excited. I want you to be excited about what God's going to do. We need to do better. We need to be taught how it is that we can do better. And I hope you receive that. You receive the message today. If you do, can you say amen with me? Amen. Amen.